Hello once again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I want to wish you a very lovely Thanksgiving. It is wonderful to live in a country where we can give thanks. And I want to share some things with you from the first chapter of Revelation today. But before we get there, I would like to tell you a little story. It's a very small story. My eldest daughter took me aside a few months ago, and she said this. She said, "Daddy, I want to say to you, because I'm not sure if I've ever said it to you, but I want you to know that I'm so glad you brought us all to America to live." And I was so glad to hear her say that, because when you immigrate to another country, you're full of misgivings. You're full of misunderstandings. Your language, though it's purer English than American English, is misunderstood continually. And all sorts of things happen. Customs are different, attitudes are different, our vocabularies are different. One day someone came to me and said he wished I didn't say, "Oh God." And I said, "I never say a thing like that." And he said, "Yes, you do." So I listened to me many times, and I hadn't any idea what he was talking about. But then one day he came to me and he said, "I thank you for stopping saying, oh God." And I didn't, but I was obviously saying something that was sounding like it to him. We came here in 1969, and we've been in churches all the time, and the Lord has blessed us over and over and over and over. And I just want to tell you that. I just want to tell you that for 15 years, once a month, I baptize several people. That's a lot, you know. 15 solid years. The Lord blessed the preaching of his word, that people were converted and came to know him. And then we lulled into a different sort of capacity. And even there, the Lord blessed us with all sorts of wonderful things and wonderful happenings. So from my point of view, wherever I've been, I've been blessed of the Lord. Now, enough of me. I want to share with you why we should be thankful. I thank God for being in this country. We are yet free, sort of. We're losing freedoms, perhaps. But the beautiful thing is we are free to say, "Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for everything." Isn't it wonderful that we have an abundance to eat and to drink? Isn't it wonderful that we have plenty of everything? We have our cars, we have our homes, and we have a lot. Though some people would want to take it from us, and maybe will. I don't know about that. But I have to say this to you with great love. I want you to understand we are perhaps the most free people in the world. I would not want to go back to live in England, much as I miss it sometimes, and much as I would like to sneak in and say hi to people. I'm glad I live in America. Oh, America, America, God shed his love on thee. What a beautiful thought. Last Sunday, I was in the pew of the church my son attends. We sang the battle hymn of the Republic and America, the beautiful hymn. And then we sang some other beautiful hymns that were all related to this great nation in which we live. I came away refreshed. The pastor preached a beautiful word. I thanked him for it. Now, if I say we're going to look at the book of Revelation, immediately some of you will say, "Well, is he premillennial, postmillennial, mid-trib, pre-trib? How does he stand?" I don't care what conclusion you bring. Jesus is coming. That's the main theme and thrust of what I'm saying. But if you read the first chapter of the book of Revelation, you should come up with some different ideas. It's not just prophecy. It is sitting down with John on the Isle of Patmos. Now, the Isle of Patmos wasn't a pretty place. It was more like Alcatraz than a nice island. It certainly wasn't Hawaii. It certainly wasn't even Molokai in the Hawaiian Islands, which had the leper colony in it. This was a place where they stuck people that they didn't want to be bothered with. They couldn't legitimately kill them, so they excommunicated them to Patmos. But listen to how this all starts. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now we are beginning to see that the time is very near. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord will have returned during the night. It seems so evident that Jesus is coming. We find here the revelation of Jesus, not just prophecy. This is Jesus being revealed in prophecy. And when we get our eyes onto theology, we miss Jesus. I've listened to countless preachers, read dozens of books about the book of Revelation. And I have to tell you, apart from the title, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, the only time the name of Jesus is mentioned is in that title. And that's a great shame. Now, John here says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. We know the things that are happening in the world, and they are going to take place. I think it's interesting to listen to the panic in the voice of some people who are saying, oh dear, we've got to commit to Israel. I am a committed person personally to Israel. I think Israel obviously is God's chosen people, and they live where he's going to return. I am committed to those people. And when I see films of the dreadful things that they suffered, my heart breaks. I remember when someone blew themselves up and blew up a whole lot of people who were sitting beside the cafe in Jerusalem a couple of years or so ago. I went to my room and cried out to the Lord, literally crying, Lord, enough. These people have suffered enough. Yet I know in my heart what the word of God says, and they are to suffer a lot more. So we have this terrifying thought that these dear people are yet to suffer a great deal more. It doesn't really matter whether we give them missiles or whether we help them with guns and ammunition, or whether we go to bat for them and do the fighting on their behalf. They are going to suffer. The word of God says so. So it will be so. And I don't know why politicians don't read the word of God. It's so simple. But here we are told, just gently but firmly, that God sent and signified by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Now John is saying, all I'm going to do is write down what God revealed to me. If you want to make a great statement out of what I'm writing, that's up to you. But he said, that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to write it down. And then he goes on and he says that this word of God came so that he could speak to the seven churches. Notice, please, how he introduces himself in verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Notice, he who is, he who was, and he who is to come. It is the same person, and he is saying, look at this. It is God that has shown me these things. It is God that is going to do these things. And man cannot change God's plan. We seem to try very hard sometimes, but we cannot change the plan of God. So stop it if you're involved in it. Don't try to change the things that God is doing. Verse 5, he says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Wow. All the leaders of the earth, the people in foreign countries, our country, all the leaders of the earth, the one that is in charge of all of you. Hear these words and understand that you have not been dismissed from the vision of God, but you are as puppets, and you do his good bidding. If you're wicked, then his bidding is that you've been given over to Satan. And so quickly let me say to those of you who lead us, repent, believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful that he has given you a new and living way, an open way, where all the wrongs can be righted. As if I were a politician, I would be terrified, because so many politicians say one thing and mean something else, and they hate to be called liars, but that's exactly what they are. And they do it in front of scores of people, and they don't care. Who is the father of lies? Who invented lying and deceitfulness? Think. Satan, the devil. And Jesus is not there. You will not find Jesus deceive. You will never hear Jesus lie. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can get to my Father but by me. And that is a factual truth. So all these things that we go practicing and trying to alter really are baseless. I would be repenting as hard as I could. Even if I couldn't find any sin in me, I would be repenting of the sin that might be. Job did that, by the way. I'm not original in that thought. He says, verse 7, and notice this, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they who pierced him. That is, every Jewish person who rejected Christ will now see Jesus coming in the clouds, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Jesus. Even so, amen, so be it. And then he goes on and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, here's that expression again, who was and who will be or is to come. And then he adds two words, the Almighty. It should put some sort of fear in the hearts of people that the Almighty is the one that is speaking. It is God Almighty who is leading. It is God Almighty that is allowing. It is God Almighty that is bewildering people today in this country because of their sinfulness and their wickedness and their waywardness. Well, then we see the vision of the Son of Man approaching. Now, verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. But he laid his hand on me, saying unto me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. If you look at the word Hades, most likely it would be better to say the unseen realm. And then he said, Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And then we get into the prophecy, but I don't want to go there. I want to stop there, and I want to say to you, look how many times he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. This is in verse 8. And we read this repeatedly. I am the one who was and will be and is. If you look at verse 11, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see right in the book. We read in verse 17, I am the first and the last. We need to be understanding that God is. He says, who was and is to come. And the Lord Jesus is to come. And his throne will be set. And his voice will be heard. His judgment will be great. His love will be colossal. And it is those that have repented and believed on him that will hear his gentle voice saying, Come unto me. All ye that have been laboring and are heavy laden, let me rest you. This word rest you is like when a mama picks up her baby and cuddles the baby to her. She rests the baby, sometimes rocking to and fro or fore and back. But she rocks the baby close to her own body. How precious this is. God is going to treat us this way. Now, it'd be glorious to go into all the places of the scripture here in Revelation if we had another 2 or 3 hours and to share with you that we shall share the glory of God. We shall share the glory of living in a mansion. We shall share the glory of being with Jesus. We shall share with Jesus many things. Things that we do not understand nor know will be suddenly known to us if it's necessary. But one of the greatest thoughts is this, that we shall be like him. That is, our body, I think, will bear scars. Some of you have received terrible scars in your lifetime. Maybe even limbs have been cut off. Or you've been disfigured by fire or explosion. You've been in the Army, Air Force, Navy, and you've suffered terribly. I've met so many people like that. Others have had so many dreadful accidents, and yet remarkably, they are still alive, but the scars are there, in their hearts and in their minds. Wherever those scars are, we have to use the expression, ye did valiantly. Ye did valiantly. But Jesus shall turn your body into a body like his beautiful body, his resurrected body. Now, this is hard to explain, but we do have the evidence that Jesus could appear and disappear. He appeared unto the disciples when they were in a room, arguing and talking about the crucifixion and maybe the resurrection. And he came into the room to them and said, "Don't be frightened, it's just me. I have come. I've come to share with you. I've come to be with you." And when the disciples were looking at him and could hardly believe what they were seeing and thought maybe he was an apparition, he said, "Look, take hold of my hands. Take hold of my feet. Handle me. See. See. Give me some bread. Give me a cup of wine. See." And when Thomas wasn't there and they told him about this, why, they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And he said, I'm not believing that. I saw him die on that terrible gibbet, that crucifixion cross. I saw it. I know he's dead." And they said, no, we've seen him. He's back from the dead." And Thomas said, "Unless I can take my finger and put it in the holes in his hands and take my hand and put it in the slot in his side where the spear went through, I'm not going to believe you." And Jesus listens. Now, where was Jesus at that point? I don't know. But the Lord Jesus heard what he said. So this new body has a tremendous ability of hearing. And hearing spiritual things is very different to hearing normal voice. Just as we read here, this was like the voice of a trumpet. And when I turned and looked, I didn't see a trumpet. Why, instead, I saw golden candlesticks and stars. That's all I saw. He expected to see a person speaking. "I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and I am the last. My thanksgiving today is this, that God is still on his throne." A week later, Jesus walked in the most miraculous way, because the doors were bolted and barred and the windows were shut and locked. And Jesus suddenly appeared in the room with them, and Thomas was sitting there, and he said, "Thomas." Now, he didn't say, "I listened and heard you." He said, "Reach hither thy finger and put it in the hole in my hands, and reach hither thy hand and place it in my side." And Thomas was absolutely shattered. He said, "My Lord, my God," he cried. "You know, I didn't really doubt you, but it's so incredible what you've brought into pass. It's rather like you and I today. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe that we will all be resurrected. Some of us will be resurrected for justice's sake and to be cast into a lost eternity. And some of us, because we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior, will be placed in heaven with Jesus, and we will live forever with him, our everlasting life, which has started on believing in Jesus, will take place in heaven in a passionate, massive, and bold way." This great description of Jesus, as he stood, he was visible. He had this great magnificence. His hair was like driven snow. It was white as wool and white as snow. And he had a white apparel on. Around his chest, he had a golden girdle. What a sight! And his voice boomed out, "I am Alpha Omega. I am he that was, he that is, and he that shall be, he that comes again." Oh dear, what have you done with this God? What have you done with these sayings? You've heard them before. Have you ever repented? Have you ever come to Jesus? Come quickly, for Jesus is coming soon. Come with a full heart of thankfulness that this is your opportunity to say, "My Lord and my God." and just fall at the feet of Jesus and know that he is Lord of all. Well, thank you for listening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bring many people to cry out, "My Lord and my God," and put the vision in front of us that you are the first and the last. You had the first word when you said, "Let there be light," and you'll have the last word when you come again. Oh, speak, Lord, to our hearts now. Cause people to repent and believe you, to love and to follow you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Happy, happy day. It's a day to remember the Lord. Thanksgiving.